Blog Talk Radio.
You have tuned in to Home, Helen Arms Ministry of Empowerment. Welcome home. Truly today is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. I hear the scripture saying, oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us, yes, you and you, let us exalt his wonderful name together. I tell you, today is another wonderful day that we have seen and know that God is great and he's greatly to be praised. And I tell you, we come to lift him up and give his name the glory, honor, and praise that's due unto him. We have another wonderful lesson on today that I want to share with you. Again, about the faithfulness of our God. Truly, he is so faithful. He is such a faithful and true to his promises, his covenant, and the commandments he's given unto the children of God. And I tell you, we as the children of God are blessed people, called out, sanctified, set aside for his glory and his honor. So we're going to be talking about God revealed himself as faithfulness. And we're going to look out of the book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 7, verses 6 through 10. And our focus verse is going to be centered around verse number 9. So as you get in your Bible or coming right on in and making yourself right at home, I'm going to go ahead and just start our prayer and just to ask God's blessing. Father, we thank you for your goodness, your mercy, your grace. We ask, oh God, that your blessing will be upon us. Bless each and every one of the hearers. Lord, we ask that you open up every airway. We bind the adversary. We call resources forward for the glory and the honor of our Father. And Father, we thank you because you're the great big God, the great big Alpha and Omega and beginning and the end. And we give you praise on today. And we thank you, Abba, and give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Take a look at the book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 7, verse 6 through 10. And it reads on this line, for thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God has chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you because you were more in numbers than any people, for ye were the fewest of all people. But because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep his oath, which he has sworn unto your father, and had the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of the bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keepeth his commandments to 1,000 generations, and repay them that hate him to their face, and to destroy them that will not be slack to him that hateth him. He will repay him to his face. My God, my God. Let's look at verse number 9. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, covenant and mercy with them that love him and keepeth his commandment to 1,000 generations. Now let's take a look at our lesson on today. Everything we know about and believe about God and his book is based on his faithfulness. We often emphasize being faithful to one another and to God, but today we'll be examining the faithfulness of God to us. If God were not faithful, any effort of faithfulness on our part would be vain. Trust in him will be futile, but thanks the Lord, for he is faithful in every aspect and respect. In this lesson, we're going to be investigating these three aspects of his faithfulness: his immutability in his nature, faithful in his character, and constant in his dealing. So again, I'm going to say those again so that you can have an understanding where we're going to be going on today. We're going to be looking at God's faithfulness, and we're going to look well at the faithfulness of God, his immutability in his nature, faithfulness in his character, and his dealing. So we're looking at his nature, his character, and how he's going to deal and how he deals with his people. One of the greatest disappointment in the arena of human suffering is when a person or a friend proved to be unfaithful. The breaking of a friend's promise dissolves the friendship and crushes us because we expected their fidelity. Now, the world and everything in it transitory, but God does not change, making his faithfulness permanent, unchanging as well. We can trust in our divine friendship to be faithfulness because it will never waver. He said, I am the Lord, I change not. You'll find that in Malachi 3:6. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever, Hebrews 13:8. First, we all will highlight the slight nuance between the term nature and care. A closer look at these terms can give us an insight from two different perspectives. We also will study God's consistency in his dealing with us. Deity holds that although God exists and created the universe, he oversees it from a distance and does not interfere with its function whatsoever, and whatever, somewhat like an absentee landlord. According to the deist, after he created the world, he stepped back and stayed out of the affairs of mankind. And we know this belief is erroneous, for God intervened very much in the affairs of man. He does it wisely and justly, as well as consistently. He's consistently interacting and dealing with his people, opening doors, making ways, healing, communing, coming and sitting in the bowling with us as his people. Now let's look at the God immutable in his nature. A person's nature is the core of his being. He cannot separate himself from it, like separating palate from the whole platelet, from the whole blood, cream, from the whole milk. Now, his nature is inherent, inborn. Thus, probing a person's nature revealed the reality of this person, his essential characteristics and character and qualities. Some people choose to disguise their nature. They project a persona designed to impress their peers. They act out a personality that reflects only what they want others to see. Like furniture made of particle board and covered with a shiny old veneer. Although we cannot see beneath the veneer, God can observe the true essence of a person's nature. The Bible says, man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart, 1 Samuel 16:7. And weigheth the spirit, Proverbs 16:2. Now, in contrast, the nature of God is genuine, though, through and through. Like furniture made of solid oak, the psalmist wrote, of an oak hast thou laid the foundation of the earth, and the heaven are the works of thy hand, and they shall perish, but thou shalt endure, yea, all of them shall wax old like a garment, and as a vesture shall thy change them, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, thy years shall have no end. Psalm 102:25-27. Now let's look at the immutability of God. Four interesting biblical examples actually provide insights about the immutable nature of God. Although at first they may appear to indicate God change, let's take a look at them. Number one, God repented that he made man, and it grieved his heart. Genesis 6:5-6. This statement does not assure any veritableness in the nature or purpose of God, for God never repents. See 1 Samuel 15:29. Any misunderstanding of this passage could emerge from what the repentance means to us as humans. Our repentance and regrets arise from our changeableness. Our desires and actions fluctuate according to the temptation, the mood, the impulse, or circumstances which necessitate repentance on our part. This is never the case with God. The repentance of God simply referred to the what theologians would call a feeling of God expressed in a way that we can understand. Now, the wickedness and the evil imagination of his beloved human creation pierced his heart with overwhelming grief and disappointment. Child of God, let us not disappoint our Father, our Heavenly Father. Now, let's look at another aspect of his immutability. God repented of his intention to destroy the people of Israel in Exodus 32 and 14. After Moses' desperate intercession for Israel, God repented of his intention to destroy the people for worshiping the golden calf. Still, as the unchangeable, true, and faithful God, Jehovah would not and could not revoke the promises he had given to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And therefore, even if he had destroyed the people, he would have fulfilled the promise through Moses by making him a great nation. Number three, God repented that he had made Saul king over Israel. 1 Samuel 15, verse 11 and verse 35. Saul rebelled against God's instruction when he spared the Amalekites, King Agar, and the best of the sheep and the cattle to offer a magnificent sacrifice to the Lord. The prophet Samuel rebuked him and announced God's rejection of him. Saul admitted his sin and asked for pardon. Sadly, his repentance did not reflect remorse, but alarmed at the Lord's rejection of him. Saul pressed his plea for mercy, hoping that God might change his mind. But Saul declared God would not change his mind and would rip the kingdom away from the lineage of Saul. And the prophet said, "The strength of the Lord will not lie nor repent, for he is not a man that should repent." 1 Samuel 15 and 29. Now, let's look at the fourth thing. God repented of the evil that he intended for Nineveh. Jonah 3 and 10. When the Ninevites repented of their violent cruelty and sin, even though it did not last, it at least showed their susceptibility to God. Their willingness to forsake their evil way allowed God to extend his mercy and grace to them. He did this not only for the sake of Nineveh, but he also for his own people would see his consistency in forgiving the sin of any repentant people, whether sinners or saints. Although judgment for sin is sure, hope for salvation is just as sure. God will always follow through. Now, let's look at man's inconsistency. The world is in flux. According to the second law of thermodynamics, commonly known as the law of increase, the quality of matter and energy deteriorating gradually over time. This affects not only the universe and nature, it affects our body. Every day we notice something has changed. As we grow older, we begin to lose muscle mass, memory, eyesight, and we acquire different things that take place in these bodies. Along with possessions get tattered or indented or ripped, and different things we see, relationships change, family and friendships are fractured or mend. Everything is temporal. Nothing is constant. To borrow a common biblical phrase, all of these things comes to pass. An example of mankind's changeabilityness can be seen in the ancient and even the incident that took place at Mount Sinai. Now, Moses delivered God's message that Israel was to be God's physical treasure, a kingdom of priests, a holy nation. After he told them what the Lord required, all the people answered together and said, "All that the Lord has spoken, we will do." Exodus 19 and 8. After they had stated their vows, Moses ascended the mountain and disappeared into the thick cloud that bore over it. The people waited for days and weeks, but Moses had not returned. Soon they began to think that he would never return. They brought their gold to Aaron and made a golden calf. When the people saw the image, they rejoiced. These be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. In Egypt, the slaves had worshipped the bull, which also represents the Balaam and Canaan, announced, tomorrow is a feast to the Lord, Exodus 32 and 5. And the next day they offered burnt offering and peace offering. The people's statement, coupled with Aaron's announcement, implied that they blended worship of God with the celebration of pagan God. And thus it only took 40 days for them to go back and on their words, for Moses discovered them celebrating the golden calf when he descended from the mountain. Now, in the New Testament, example of human changeableness is we'll find it appear in Matthew chapter 26. Jesus had just told the disciple of his impending passion and death when Peter interrupted, so all men shall be offended because of thee, yet I will never be offended. So I should die with thee, I will not deny thee. And you'll find that over in Matthew 26, 33 through 35. When the temple guard came and arrested Jesus in the garden, Peter drew his sword, and then swiped off one of the servants of the high priest's ears. But that showed of impassionate loyalty evaporated during the long, anxious hours in the cold and shallowy courtyard of the high priest's palace. Before the night was over, Peter had betrayed his loyalty three times, as Jesus has said. Change is woven into the fabric of mankind's nature, but the nature of God never wavers. Our mood raises and falls, our feelings wax hot and cold, but God remains steady and true from everlasting to everlasting. Now let's take a look at the faithfulness in his character. We looked at his immutability. Now let's take a look at his character. We can trust in his faithfulness. Now Jonah wanted God to hurl fire and brimstone down on Nineveh for the unspeakable atrocity that they had committed. The last thing he wanted was for them to repent, because he knew God's merciful character. The reluctant prophet finally arrived in the city for 3 days, roared out warning of God's impending judgment. Then he climbed a mountain, a hill, and situated himself at the best vantage point to see what would happen. He waited all day and all night, and nothing happened. As soon as Nineveh repented, the mercy and grace and kindness of God would not let him destroy the place. On the surface, it seemed as though that Jonah accused God of inconsistency, but underneath the prophet's fury was the reluctant testimony of the immutability. Even though Jonah was not thinking straight, he did not doubt these characteristics. Jonah, not God, was the inconsistent one. Now, Peter's denial in Christ revealed the mercy and faithfulness of God. Two things, as well as two times, the servant identified Peter as one of Christ's disciples, and he swore he was not. Finally, one of the high priest's servants, a relative of the man whose ear Peter had severed off, accused, I know you are one of these Jesus' disciples. I saw you in the garden. And Peter shouted, for the last time, I'm telling you, I'm not even known the man. Then the rooster cropped and pierced the air, and from a distance the Lord turned and looked at Peter. And you'll find that over in Luke chapter 22 and verse 61, John 18 and verse number 26. Wow, what could Peter have been feeling for such a tragedy thing? Let's look. That one sorrowful look as a dagger of grief into Peter's soul, and he went out and wept bitterly. Peter's repentance opened a channel through which God could pour his mercy. After Jesus' resurrection, the angels told the women, go your way, tell his disciple and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him as he has said unto you. Mark 16 and verse 7. Now, the Lord's characteristic of forgiveness and his permanent calling of Peter would not let him omit the repentant disciple from his invitation. Character is the composite of a person's characteristic, the attributes, the traits, the ability that distinguish him from any other. These characteristics are not monetarily arbitrary of the personality, but it comprises the basic building blocks of a person's nature. Thus, for the purpose of this lesson, nature is the latent fabric of an individual, and the characteristic is the dynamic that manifests the nature. We should note that a person can step outside of his character and act uncharacteristically like, but God cannot. We can never be like God in this regard, for some of his attributes are incommutable. That is, they cannot be communicated to human beings. God's incommutable attributes are omnipresent and omniscient, sovereignty, his immutability. Some of his commutable attributes are love, faithfulness, and holiness. Therefore, in some way we can be like God, in other ways we cannot. God can be nothing but immutable. Our human state constantly fluctuates. God can be nothing but faithful. Although we can acquire this trait to a certain extent, sometimes we are not. All of God's attributes and characteristics are constant. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You'll find that over in Hebrews 13 and 8. We can trust even when we do not understand. Let's take a look at that. If we observe inconsistency in one another individual in the area of personal integrity, we tend not to trust them, for we do not understand why they behave or respond in such a manner. By the same token, people tend not to believe in God based on their inability to understand some of the things God does. However, misunderstanding appears and misunderstanding God are diametrically opposed to each other. When people act in unexpected, erroneous ways, it is only the nature from us to draw back with uncertainty and doubt. We too are human, and our inconsistency action has disappointed and dismayed others as well. However, God's ways are worthy of trust. He says, for as heaven are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Isaiah 55 and 9. Our trust in God himself assures us we can continue believing in him even if we do not understand what he does. Job did not understand the reason for his suffering, and as far as we know, God never did reveal the reason to Job. Further, throughout his trial, Job did not hear one encouraging word from God. He could not find God even though he searched. Yet in spite of this, he knew God was there somewhere and was intrinsically faithful. For I know that my Redeemer lives and that he shall stand at the latter days upon the earth. And though after my skin worms be destroyed, this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold. Job 19, verse 25 and through 27. Job can teach us that regardless of what we go through and whether or not we understand our trial, God is always faithful. Hebrews 10 and 23 said, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. My God, my God. Let's look further. God's constant in his dealing. God will always act based on his character. People do not do unto others as others do unto them. If the others keep his promise, they keep their promise. If the other is fair, then they are fair. But God does not base his faithfulness on the reciprocation of others. He is always faithful and worthy of the trust, even when we are not. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, and he cannot deny himself. 2 Timothy 2:13. None of his action will ever conflict with his character, for he cannot act upon apart from the basis of his own character. God's faithfulness means he will always follow through, whether the situation calls for his judgment or for his mercy. For an example, he gave Malachi a list of grievance against Judah for their disregard of him and his law. He warned of certain judgment for those who would not repent, but for those who did, he promised mercy, forgiveness, and healing. He said, "For I am the Lord, and I change not." Malachi 3:6, threw on his promises, whether for punishment or for salvation. Now, Abraham, he trusted God in his faithful dealings with him. He left his God. He left his home. He left his family. He left his friend at God's command. Even though he never found the city during his lifetime, he believed that God had built it. Even though he had to wait 25 years for the promised son, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he has promised, he was also able to perform. Romans 4:20-21. Now, God always keeps his covenant. Now, the faithfulness of God, which keepeth his covenant, God, which keepeth his covenant, you'll find that over in Deuteronomy 7:9. The Lord said, "My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that is gone out of my lips." Psalms 89:34. When God's covenant with us can be dependent on him, for he is constant in his dealing. For all the promises of God are yea, and in him, amen, unto the glory of God by us. 2 Corinthians 1:20. God's covenant differed radically from the covenant of mankind. Man can shake hands to a close business deal. They can sign a contract legally binding them to a provision. In a courtroom, they can swear with one hand on the Bible and the other raised to God. In the church before God and 100 witnesses, they can pledge to share their lives with their spouse until death separate them. But all these are temporal covenants, can and have been broken, amen, in some way or another. Unlike mankind, God keeps his promises. Faithful is he that called you, who is also will do it. 1 Thessalonians 5:24. He will do what he said he will do. There is no greater guarantee than this. It is backed up by the word of the Lord. The contract, the covenant of man oftentimes expired after a specific amount of time. For an example, the first fine print of the deed to sometime timeshare property may indicate that their ownership expires in 25 years, although the provision is often not advertised. Although another example is the law impending domain, eminent domain, in which the government has given itself permission to confiscate private real or personal property and use it for a specific purpose. The Lord's covenant comes with no expiration date, even when others are not faithful to the covenant. After the Israelites entered the Canaan land, some of the tribes, such as Judah and Simeon, aggressively took over the territory of their inheritance and either destroyed or drove out the inhabitants. Most of the other tribes, however, such as Manasseh, Zebulun, Asher, Naphtali, and Dan, failed to drive out the inhabitants from the land. Joshua had allotted to them and did not destroy the existing altars. Israel's close proximity to the Ammonites led them to the forge of allegiance with them. still, the angel of the Lord appeared to them and reminded them, I made you go up out of Egypt and have brought you out into a land which I swear unto your father. And I said, I will never break my covenant with you. Judge 2 and verse number 1. The Israelites wept with remorse over their faithfulness and their sacrifice to the Lord in the place that they call Bochim, the weeper. As long as Joshua and the elders of Israel lived, the people served God. Before Joshua died, he spoke soberly to them about critical choices that they must make. And they all vowed, the Lord our God will we serve, and his voice will we obey. Joshua 24 and verse 24. However, after the generation were gathered unto their father, there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. In Judge 2 and verse number 10. Now God said he keeps his commandments to 1,000 generations. If a generation is 30 years, that would be 30,000 years. Obviously, Moses did not mean that God's covenant promise had an expiration date. He used the phrase 1,000 generations to indicate the immeasurable amount of time. That is to illustrate by the fact that in the 21st century, God still honors the ancient covenant that he made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Because the Lord loved you and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your father, have the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is faithful, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. You'll find that in Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 8 and 9. Great is thy faithfulness is a hymn that was once sung by Thomas O. Chisholm, wrote the lyrics, and William M. Runyon wrote the music in 1923, beautifully celebrate God's immutability. Great is thy faithfulness, O my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not. Thy compassion they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever will be. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercy I see. All I have needed, thy hands provided. Great is thy faithfulness. Amen. It is of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed, because his compassion faileth not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. And you'll find that over in Lamentation 3, verses 22 to 23. Now, finally, our King is eternal, immortal, invisible, because God is immutable and eternal. His purpose cannot be frustrated. He is the everlasting and ever-living one, and what he has promised, he can and will accomplish. The covenant he made with the Jews is not the only everlasting covenant. God made a new covenant, which includes the church and also who answer his call to the covenant. The term of the old covenant includes an eternal inheritance. The terms of the new covenant include an internal inheritance as well. Jesus is the mediator of the new testament, that by means of death, for redemption of the transgression that were under the first commandment, they which are called might receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. Hebrews 9 and 15. The children of thy servant shall continue, and their seed shall be established before thee, Psalm 102 and verse 28. Because God is eternal, he has the power to grant life, eternal life to his children. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, John 10, verse 27 and 28. God's covenant shall abide, and his children shall abide, his church shall abide. The stability and welfare of the church are guaranteed by the eternality and mutability and mutability of the Lord our God. Children of God, we can stand on God's immutability, his ability to be faithful, change not. If he promised, he will surely bring that thing to pass. What we as the children of God have to do is hold on and wait for the Lord to bring it to pass. And no matter what goes on in our life, we can still declare he's well able, and he that will come shall come, and he will not tarry. He will do what he said he would do. He's capable. He's a man of character, a God that has the power to bring that thing to pass. So whatever you're waiting on, whatever you believe in God, whatever for, whatever God told you he's going to do, I come to encourage and inspire your faith on this day is to hold fast, no matter what it looked like, no matter what it's dictating and saying. You look beyond what you see through the eyes of your faith and tell your situation, I will still yet trust God. He's still yet able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think. He said, according to your faith, so be it unto you. And so, child of God, let us stay faithful to God. Let us remain consistent and steadfast and unmovable, always abounding in the word of the Lord and watch him do it on our behalf. I pray that this lesson has been a blessing unto you. I'm so glad that you joined me on today. I'm so glad that you were able to be with me on today. I pray that this has been a blessing, that you can always keep in remembrance of the immutability of our God, a God that will not change. He will not lie, but he will do what he said and promised to do for the children of God. I pray that you will be blessed, your family blessed. This same inheritance has been given over to your children, but we have to teach it to them so we won't be like Dan or Asher and think Naphtali, who didn't drive out the inhabitants, who did not do what God asked of them to do, but be faithful and obedient to the word of the Lord our God and understand what his commandment is for his children. It's up to us to teach us. It's up to us to show us. It's up to us to pray that God would illuminate their hearts and their minds, that they would stay faithful to the God of our salvation. Father, we thank you for this wonderful word today. We thank you for all of our listeners on today. We ask, oh God, that you would bless their spirit, bless their heart, and strengthen their faith to stand on your promise, God, and on your word. And God, we thank you because you're the righteous Savior that can do all things but fail. And we put our confidence and trust in you to the glory of our Father. In Jesus' name, amen. So, child of God, I'm so glad that you were with me on today. Tell someone about home, Helen Arm and Ministry of Empowerment. We're the victorious living through the word of empowerment from biblical lessons and principles, where we are exploring the theological implication and contextualizing the relevancy for today's living. I know, without a shadow of a doubt, that you are going to be blessed and will be blessed. Continue to heed the word of the Lord our God. Continue to join us here at home. As I always would say in my closing, if you don't have it, God got it, and you are just one question away from your miracle. All you need to do is ask, and it shall be given. Seek, and you shall receive. Seek, and you shall receive. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you, according to Matthew 7:7. I tell you, child of God, there is a no sorrow blessing coming your way. We thank God for you. Be thou blessed. This is your best days that you'll ever see. Live it to the fullest in your God-blessed day. God bless you now. Bye-bye.